excuse me, Luke 12, verse 28. Let me read 27 and then let's get to consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then 28, if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith is interesting word. It's oligopistos, and it's the normal word for faith is pestis.
Pestis.
So let's look at a few of these. Matthew 6. Well, no, let's go to Matthew 8, I'm sorry. In verse 23, it says, when he calms the storm, when he has entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, so much as the ship was covered with waves, and he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And he calls the disciples fear, O you of little faith. They were fearful of being drowned in the ocean. Unbelievable heavy storm. And yet he said, O ye of little faith. That sort of causes us to ponder. Let's go to Matthew 14. This is when Jesus is walking on water. Well, let's just read it. In verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boistering, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, Wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. These are the most extraordinary issues. There's something, if any of you have been on a boat and then things get troubling, it is really fearful, because you look around, and just before I left Teledyne, I was in charge of a project where we used a seismic device, an exploding wire technique, to map from Trinidad all the way to Liberia. And that's the first time I'd been in big ocean ships, but this was a relatively small ship in the middle of the ocean. And there was storm after storm. And man, I made a vow that I'm never going to again get into a boat like that. But it really is fearful. It's because you're out of your element. And then the time that Pete and I saved Mr. Buckner when he was swimming across a peninsula. And it's really fearful. It seems that it's just the natural fear. But in that condition, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." What does that say to us? We're going to take a little side trip. We got a couple more. We're going to study seek here. But in verse 29 of chapter 12 of Luke, we're not there yet, but it's about the same thing. And verse 29, seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. But believe it or not, the word for doubtful mind is a word that means to lift up one's own soul, be puffed up, be inflated with pride. So this word, doubtful mind, in relationship to fear, if you extend this, all these fears come from pride. And until one sees that, you will never understand what's going on. This is why we had a little to do a few months ago, when we said that, you know, that sudden fear shall not come upon you. It's the promise of God, even if it's a snake or a scorpion. And the reason is that fear is, in a spiritual sense, is pride. Now, how can that be? Because you believe the evil one. The evil one is puffed up within you, as opposed to the life of Christ in you. Yeah. So that's why, if you remember, the issue that we discussed was that the only response to fear is repentance at a deeper level.
Because if you believe you're the controlling force in your life,
Can you see the relationship between fear and pride?
I'm having a hard time making that synapse. Maybe it's my seeing is.
You what? Oh, I was saying I could see it, but yeah. You think you can? It all goes back to the root of it is that you're just kind of self-sufficient.
It's loss of control.
Yeah.
Remember your dream?
Yeah. first step for me is fear, is because you're living by sensory perception and your entire goal is self-preservation, and that's come against in these examples, in these parables. These guys are in the ship and they're about to die and the water's thrown over and there's fear, but it's fear of loss of life.
Well, it's really at the core. It's not even loss of life.
Fear,
it's
yeah.
fear of control. Loss of control.
Yeah. And death and loss of control are pretty tight.
Well, that's why that's why the whole idea of our death has to be the predicate of Christianity. So anything other than faith is of the evil one. And these things like sudden fear reveals where our trust is. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
John, what's going on? You understand or you agree, disagree?
I don't totally agree. I understand the point, but there's a big distinction between a spiritual fear and a natural fear, and to try to plug them together creates some chaos and doesn't compute. I mean, if I see a snake, I'm afraid, but I don't have any idea what that means with my spiritual eye.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's water brushing over a boat. It doesn't matter if it's a rattlesnake next to you. It doesn't matter what it is. From God's perspective, it's the opposite of faith. Why? And this is, we're not trying to distinguish between spiritual fear and, because by definition, spiritual fear is an oxymoron.
Christ is saying to us, don't be human.
Fear not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah. it's an amazing thing.
If you're a new creature,
it's as revolutionary as don't think about it. Don't take no thought.
Well, consider it. That's what that word consider we just studied meant. Again, you're just a vessel. That's all we are. That's all we've ever been. We've been a vessel for deity. The response to stimuli that's unexpected reveals which deity is in you. And do you allow the evil one to reign? And it's tested in all of these thousand ways throughout our lives. It has nothing to do with human nature. It's the revelation of Christ versus Adam. When Adam was just a vessel for deity. So it's not about what you fear or what you don't fear. It's about who's the God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And again, that's not new in time, it's new in class or order. And the new creature is a different thing than the human being. It's an alien to our society. It's not just a human being becoming something different. It's a human being dying and a different life is living. That's the basis of Christianity.
Is it a sin to be afraid?
Yes, because it's no faith. But no, it's not. It's that's all I'm trying to get to you to see is for all these things, the response is repentance, not justification.
It's
funny to think of, what did Jesus expect? Guy sitting around having a cigarette while the waves are blowing over the boat and about to turn it over. It's like his response wasn't that kind in a sense.
It wasn't kind at all.
Yeah.
Not in a sense.
In a strong sense.
Yeah, in a strong sense.
And that is there for our benefit. Is it at least possible in your mind to consider that if there's fear, you should repent?
Yeah.
As opposed to justifying it. Can everybody see that as at least a possibility?
I find the effect in this conversation is to drop guards, because the instinct is to justify the old man and his natural state, and that's who Jesus was talking to, men in their natural state, not born-again believers or whatever the words would be. But that doesn't change the exhortation. It's like you guys are in another ball game here.
It just blows my mind that be of doubtful mind is the same as being puffed up, inflated with pride.
You know, always, not always, but many times I try to make a repenting situational. For example, when I thought I might have a very bad situation with my health, you know, that I had to go through 2.5 weeks of doubt or uncertainty. And believe me, I did ask for forgiveness. I repeatedly surrendered, and then it would return. And I see fear there in the repentance relationship. Now, something immediate, like I'm driving over to my father's, say, next weekend, and it's snowy and icy, and there's something about this immediacy of someone hitting you or not hitting you while you're driving, where I guess the repentance there. Yeah, I don't want to create contradictions, but you know what I'm trying to say. Maybe not.
Well, again,
it's hard to repent when I'm driving over to my father's and I have fear.
Because you think repentance is an action. Repentance is a way of life. Every time your speech is not seasoned with salt. Every time that you're gaining sustenance and satisfaction from something other than the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, repentance is not an act, it's a way of life. The repentance you're talking about is the repentance of the world. It's a different universe. Let's go back to Little Faith. We got one more to look at in Little Faith. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, if it will be foul weather today, for the sky, and it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus perceived, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, again, there was something, I mean, my mother and father thought I was nuts, but I guess I had to always push myself, even when I was a kid. And I told you, when I was 11 or 12, I started going out in the desert. Any chance I had, if we had a school break or something, I'd just go out in the desert alone and have nothing but a knife. And I'd stay for a week or 2 weeks. It drove my parents crazy. But the thing, it was all about me wanting control, that I had to know how to survive in all those environments, in the desert in this case. And then when I got working in the military, and then afterward, every time I went to a different environment, you had to take a brief course of survival for it. And so, you know, I was full of it, pride that I could survive. I thought I could survive under any environment. But it was all about my own need for control. The only reason I wanted a lot of money wasn't because I wanted a lot of money. It was because I wanted to be in control so I could do what I want when I wanted to do it. But the point of all that is the control. It's, you know, that seems like it's things, at least the people in my world admired, that you could go out and survive. That's what we're taught in Boy Scouts, even.
Yeah.
On a smaller basis. But the point of it is it's all about you needing to be in control. And you project issues to cause you to continue to be in control. If you're in business, you make business plans to cause you to try to be in control. And you do all these things to try to contain and continue and control. And all of them are the antithesis of faith. Now the other, I mean, they're all pride. They're all the program of the evil one. And they're all no faith. Does that communicate? I mean, we gotta get down to this distinction. And it's not that you gotta learn how to have faith, it's you gotta learn how to die so that he lives. He doesn't have faith, he is faith. We're living by the faith of him, no longer faith in him. And all these are tells in the cosmic poker game of whether or not it's who's living within you. This is why we do what we do. This is why we study so much. So that this gets... So that you see... the only reason we study is so you can repent deeper. Not so you can learn anything. But to consider that fear that just doesn't compute to our minds. But it's obvious if you see it's to between the two different gods.
It's almost hard to believe that fear is rejecting him. But it really is.
But think how much we do. We started from the very beginning. We go to school, we study so that we can be in control. Everything we do is about being in control. Then we are then faced with this, that didn't work out too well for us, so now, but we still have the tendency to want to be in control. And all this is there so that we can repent at a deeper level. Everybody understand that? It's not about you becoming something. It's you becoming dead. You're already dead, but it's to see yourself as that. That's what mortify means. It doesn't mean you do anything. You see yourself as a... Remember your baptism. You're in the grave. And this thing always tries to bring itself back into the picture. I think I went on a rant.
Yeah. It was wild.
I was thinking that you were up surviving in the desert, and I'm on the high bar with those giants. And I can see back for the first time, just ominous task to get that first giant coming out of the way. And the fear was great. Desire to conquer fear was great, and took all the precautions, got up there, did the cast up, got over it, and was like, wow. And so my gymnastics thing was all about control and not dying. And I was mixed faith with it. I remember praying many times about tricks and stuff. So it's the same, you know, I could relate very easily. The total devotion of your life to try and be in control. Doesn't matter what the medium is, in the desert, in the bars, high bars, bars, yeah, whether you're women, it's all about high bars. Get on top, so to speak.
But it's not a light matter. It's I promise you, this is a, and we're trying to see through the veil, and these are all the issues that are blinding our mind or blinding our eyes from seeing. And that's why these issues are presented this way. You're either a new creature or you're not. If you're just the same old you, you're trying to put a label on it. That's what you've all done in your whole life. You put labels on yourself and invented yourself. Now this is a total different nature. The mind has no ability to comprehend it. All right. Anybody have any other response?
I just have one more. It's always amused me that in man is placed, the strongest instinct is to survive. And God comes along and says, and attacks that strongest instinct. With, if you be my disciple,
pick up your cross.
It's like he gets to the point.
Amen. Thank you, big guy.